As various inclusive communities and organizations acknowledge and celebrate Pride Month this June, a coalition of faith and activist groups are leveraging the occasion for practical organizing, training, and action. After all, there are powerful forces aligned against LGBTQI plus rights and identity in this country, often shrouded in religious language and complicated by racial and economic inequality that won't be deterred by a party or by a parade. This June, Interfaith Alliance is partnering with a number of organizations and religious groups for the Colors Pride Initiative, and I'm happy to have one of the organizers with us today to get an overview of what's going on. The Reverend Dr. Roland Stringfellow is a pastor in the Metropolitan Community Church and board president of Inclusive Justice in Detroit, Michigan. Roland, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
It is an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
The idea is to think about pride outside of the box. Now, what does that mean?
Absolutely. You know, because of the pandemic, this is now the second year many communities are not able to have parades or festivals during the month of June. Granted, many restrictions are being lifted, but that was not in enough time to allow organizers to do that. So last year, as this year, we had to be creative and think, how can we continue to show our pride but have to do it outside of the box? This year, what we have decided to do, rather than to simply sit on our, you know, our hands and twiddle our thumbs, let's engage congregations that are welcoming, that are open and affirming, that are reconciling, to say, do something for equality this year. And so that is how the Colors of Pride campaign was birthed.
I see.
After the horrendous year we have had in 2020, with all that has happened, in fact, I call it the apocalypse of the four P's, the letter P, with dealing with the pandemic, of course, dealing with the politics or the political situation in the United States. That was just horrific for many of us, mm-hmm. particularly, you know, culminating on January 6th.
Yeah.
Then you had policing and protesting that happened. And myself, as an African-American person, that took a particular toll on my psyche, you know, mm-hmm. just watching, you know, and hearing name after name, body after body being, you know, assaulted. Yeah. And then the fourth P is really, I would say, anything personal that you had going on with you. Like, we all had something personal in terms of making that shift. So because of those four apocalyptic, you know, things that occurred, how is it that we can do something that feels not just ordinary, like we've done this before? So the Colors of Pride is what I'm calling intersectional equality, because we have grown to know over this past year, and the pandemic has taught us many lessons, that we are not alone. We are definitely interconnected with one another. Mm. And so for us solely to say, let's celebrate pride, yay, but then ignore what's happening with many of the legislative, you know, assaults that are happening on the LGBT community, mm. we can't do that. Mm. For us to say, yay, pride, but then ignore the injustice against Black and brown bodies, or yay, pride, but then a particular section of your community, the transgender population, especially Black trans women, you know, being insulted, and let alone just even what many states are currently doing with, you know, sports bans, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, trans youth. Right. There are so many different things to think about. And then, you know, obviously the assault on, you know, reproductive rights. So there has to be an intersection, and that is what this Colors of Pride is all about, hmm. recognizing that each of us have a very distinct identity that we are very proud of, but almost like a reverse spectrum, that when those colors come together, we make one strong beam of light. Mm. And let's all come together. What I like to say, this is a time of allyship, mm-hmm. and to have the queer community and Black and brown communities, as well as congregations, to come together to do something that will truly make a difference in the lives of others.
What are the events, some of the events lined up for the week of June 11th specifically, and the entire month of June more generally?
Absolutely. Let me begin with the general question first. So I like to say we're going to do vertical and horizontal programming. Beginning with the vertical, during each of the weekends that congregations are meeting for their religious services, we have assembled a great line of national religious leaders to create a short video recording of explaining this intersectional equality and why it is so very important. So we have, you know, leaders from Judaism and Christianity and Unitarian Universalists and myself, you know, giving an introduction. So each of the four weekends during Pride Month, we are encouraging congregations to either show the video at the top of their service. If that's not what they do, that's not, you know, their practice, then maybe they can show, you know, at least post it on their website and or Facebook page. Mm. But we simply want to, that's the easiest way for a congregation to participate. We're looking for literally over 300 congregations across the United States. And when you think about it, that's not a big number. But if we can get those congregations truly engaged and saying, we want to take this stand for equality, yeah, then we are very happy. So that's the vertical. The horizontal is what you reference, which we're calling the Colors of Pride Week. And so it begins actually the weekend before, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, that weekend. Mm-hmm. We are encouraging congregations to either preach or teach or have a special session or even a bulletin insert when it comes to this topic of intersectional equality, and to call the attentions of their community to the various challenges that many vulnerable populations experience. Because again, I'm just going to repeat myself for a moment, but it bears repeating, that when it comes to Pride Month, we can solely be, we can feel good about ourselves if we hang the rainbow flag, or if we march in the parade, or we do something with the LGBT community to show our solidarity. What we want for that first weekend is to say, take a step further and to say, you know, more than just simply, yay, we put the flag out, but we want to organize our congregations to do something a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So then beginning that Monday, which is the 14th of June, Monday the 14th, we are inviting congregations to meet us and join us online for a live training on how to, in a sense, amplify their voices and to be educated on the variety of equality issues that are out there, from the Equality Act, also to the upcoming Supreme Court decision on Fulton versus Philadelphia, and the like. So then the goal of that evening is that once a congregation engages, they will walk away with some really great skills on how to contact their legislator, how to write an op-ed, how to really, you know, again, amplify their voice and to increase their public witness for equality. The balance of the week will be a variety of focuses from the George Floyd Policing Act, mm-hmm, to how to support the transgender community. And then I'm going to be doing a workshop midweek called Speak, Schedule, and Script. It's how congregations can, from the very beginning, to take an interest, how to contact your legislative representative, and then how to actually conduct the meeting. And so I've have done that workshop multiple times, and we want folks to understand that. I've also partnered with the LGBT task force in a workshop, a webinar rather, which is called Turning a Sermon into a Soundbite. Because we recognize that, like I'm doing right now, preachers can be very verbose. You know, ministers can be very verbose. And how is it that you can't say it all, but how do you, you know, pare it down in a way that's an elevator speech to capture the attention of your audience, whether it is in an op-ed or whether you're sitting in front of your legislator to communicate that. Lastly, we're going to then have on June 19th, a national celebration of Juneteenth. And we felt that this was a great capstone to all that we're doing, because for your listeners who may have heard of Juneteenth but not know really what it was, it is the day of emancipation where the final enslaved African Americans received the word in Texas that they indeed were emancipated by the Emancipation Proclamation. And we're going to have a YouTube premiere where anyone can tune in at 12 noon Eastern or 9 a.m. Pacific to engage in the Juneteenth celebration.
It's obvious that to a great extent, the campaign targets faith leaders and congregations. Why is that the focus of Colors of Pride?
Absolutely. Great question. You know, because we recognize that, the city of Jackson, Michigan, which is on the west side of the state, had a forum last night that I spoke on. The mayor was there, an Episcopal bishop, and representatives from the ACLU. And the city of Jackson, what they wanted to do is they recognized that the oppositions that they are facing for human rights are coming from religious leaders on the more conservative end of that spectrum. And one of the things that I shared with the audience last evening was that those of us who are more moderate, those of us who are more progressive, but basically we don't want to see religion used as a weapon to downtrod anyone in our community. I call that spiritual violence. When you take the name of God or any type of religion or religious community to condemn or to shun somebody, religious violence. So how is it that we can combat that? And it is good for us who are moderates, who are progressive when it comes to our religious practices, to say religion will not be used in this way. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to agree with the quote-unquote progressive agenda, political agenda. But it's just to say that, you know, we believe in the separation of church and state, and that we don't want someone from the outside coming in telling us how to do our religious practices, and thus no one religion should then impose their beliefs on others. Yeah. And so we're going to stand up for that. And so that is the reason why we have targeted for our audience religious leaders. And we very well may have, quote unquote, you know, evangelicals or those who consider themselves more conservative joining this campaign, not because they believe in, you know, LGBT equality, but they do support, to say, the separation of church and state. And that is what we are hoping will be the outcome.
Roland, how would you describe the coalition promoting this campaign, and how did this broad coalition come together?
Well, you know, I have to really thank my friends at the Interfaith Alliance, because what they do, they host a bi-monthly conference call with other religious organizers who are doing work for equality. So we meet and we recognize that, you know, this storm is swirling. You know, as I mentioned earlier about the Supreme Court's decision around Fulton and Philadelphia and the Equality Act. And again, you know, just, you know, the assault on black and brown bodies. And we just recognized we needed to do something outside the box. And so when we added the component to say, let's go beyond just simply the LGBT equality, but then to expand it to racial justice and equality, as well as gender justice. Many of those same partners were, you know, thrilled and said, yes, that is something I want to sign on for. And so that was something that I, myself and some others who are part of that coalition have been meeting, you know, doing double time to organize this and put together a toolkit of resources. So even if a congregation is not able to engage in all the things that I listed, there, if they sign up through equalitytime.org/colors of pride, they will get the toolkit of everything that I'm sharing with you, and they can, and, you know, in a sense, do this. So our partners are sending out the ask to their networks, their congregations, and inviting them to participate.
To be honest, this month we're seeing the word pride just about everywhere, more than I've ever seen it. What would you urge people to focus on during this time of celebration so as not to get distracted by well-intentioned but sometimes overwhelming messages?
That's a very important question, especially, you know, you have to answer that question in light of all the various restrictions around the pandemic being lifted. Many of us have been so tired by being isolated and, you know, not being in community. And, you know, we want to rip off our mask and run to the beach and just, you know, and have a grand old time. But you know, as the medical professionals are letting us know, you got to be cautious. You just can't just run back out because the virus is still out there and the virus is still real. And I would say it to answer your question that we can't necessarily simply erase all of the events of the past year. And so, you know, to just have pride as we've always done it is really sticking your head back in the sand. It's like, what impact has this pandemic had upon your heart and your life and your community? And how thus, how will pride look different? Not diminished, but different. Like I said, pride outside the box. In the same way about the intersectionality with other communities, that, you know, it's like to just solely turn your head and look in one corner while all this other horrendous actions are happening in other parts of the world or even your own community is sticking your head in the sand.
Yeah.
And so as we talk about pride, it's pride for everyone, that everyone needs to have their head lifted. Everyone needs to have their heart raised. And so for those who really have the heart to really want to, you know, have embrace and be in community, then be in community in a way to help heal people from the events of this, you know, past year and a half, because we all need that helping hand. And that is how this pride can look different.
The Reverend Dr. Roland Stringfellow is senior pastor and teacher at the Metropolitan Community Church of Detroit and board president of Inclusive Justice. Roland, happy Pride. And
happy
thank
Pride
you
to you
for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Indeed. Again, it's my pleasure, and happy Pride to all your listeners.